Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
How does an economy that is more mindful and less mindless become a reality? Welcome to the Mindful Marketplace. I'm your host, Joel Skeen, and I'm happy to welcome you to the show where we ask experts, entrepreneurs, investors, and industry leaders for their perspectives on how all of us can, on every level, do our part to help create a more mindful marketplace.
Welcome back to part two of our conversation with the multifaceted, the multi-talented, CEO of, am I saying Kairos? Is that right?
Kairos
Digital Marketing, co-founder of Black Wall Street Asheville, co-CEO founder of Grind Coffee, Grind Fest. You will see him all, if you get out in Asheville just a little bit, you'll probably see Bruce running around here. Bruce Waller, glad to have you back for part two of this conversation. Yeah. We're really digging in today about Black Wall Street. We did a part one last week, so if you missed that, please go back and take a listen to part one of this episode where we really get into the why of why Black Wall Street exists and what its goal is. Today, though, we're going to get into a little bit more about the how and about the future. Bruce, you know, where we left off and at the end of last episode, you were talking about how the goal really of Black Wall Street is to help support, promote, and give the guidance and challenge necessary for success to entrepreneurs of color. You know, people who are Black, but also Indigenous, Hispanic, people who have traditionally not had all of those things in order to start their own businesses and take control of their own life. But I guess the first question that I was thinking of if I was listening to this show as you were talking is, what actually is Black Wall Street? Like, I know there is a Wall Street, obviously, in Manhattan.
Yeah, people confuse that.
And there is a Wall Street in Asheville, too. Is this a location? Is it an actual place where people are trading shares and stocks? Is it, what does it actually consist of? What is Black Wall Street actually like look like if you were to go and see it yourself?
So when we talk about Black Wall Street, I want to move people from a location to a mindset. Black Wall Street lives in the heart of people. Black Wall Street was deemed, you know, you had Booker T. Washington, you had some of the greats at that time visit these locations all across the globe. Because just to give context, after slavery was technically abolished and, you know, took time, you know, the Jim Crow Act came to be, which means whites can only do business with whites, blacks can only do business with blacks. But one of the first known prominent Black Wall Streets was in Durham. They were known for insurance and technology and innovation. And so you had W.D. Du Bois, you had Booker T. Washington visit these locations, and they coined it, this is the Black Wall Street. So Black Wall Street was named by some of these prominent figures, and it caught fire. What you saw at that time in the late 1800s were brick and mortar buildings that covered blocks upon blocks. We had our own mortgage companies. We had our own banks. We had our own movie theaters, our own airports, our own hotels, our own restaurants, barbershops. I mean, you name it, it was there. And so when it started to catch fire, as far as in us coming together with our dollars and buying land, you know, which is the, you know, the real estate, right? Buying land and building. Black Wall Street was a location, right? You had Black Wall Street there. You also had a Black Wall Street technically in Asheville. You had the block, right? You had you know, South Side, where Grind is and Black Wall Street Marketplace is, that was all black businesses. And so it is wherever black people are, that is the Black Wall Street, where they're doing business with each other and business in their community. And so what it looks like now today for us is organizing. I mean, because now we're in a technological age where everybody can't afford a building, but we do have space where we break the limits off of brick and mortars and connect them to the world. So any brick and mortar that is a part of Black Wall Street, of course, like Grind, the marketplace we have, and then there are a few other people who have art spaces, we are still connecting by congregating online and showcasing the different aspects of what it has. So if you came to Black Wall Street today, or Black Wall Street AVL, it was all contextualized or built on the foundation of the Greenwood District. So the Greenwood District is Black Wall Street. That was in the Black Wall Street that we are referring to is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? And the Tulsa, Oklahoma Black Wall Street was the one of the biggest Black Wall Streets. It wasn't the first, but it was the biggest. I mean, they had it stretch blocks upon blocks. I mean, hundreds of blocks of businesses. Thousands of people lived there, you know? And so that was a brick. That was a prestige location. And people from all over came there to visit. To the degree that Greenwood District was beating their counterparts, their white brothers and sisters, around them, they were dominating when it came to wealth building. And so it was crazy. It was by far none. It was no match. And so we were living in a way, even in the late 1800s, you know, we were on the rise. So I could only imagine if Black Wall Street's location that were up and running, actual physical locations of black businesses taking up, like, just imagine going downtown Asheville and there's nothing but black businesses, right? Or going down to Hendersonville or any other up and coming cities and it's all black businesses stretching blocks and blocks. That's what you call a Black Wall Street. That's the spectacle to see, and is not very rare, and it's very rare that you see it. So now today, you come to us, we actually have an online presence. We do get together quarterly. We do boot camps every quarter where we're coming together at the Black Wall Street Marketplace, because our goal is to expand, grow, and support BIPOC businesses to revitalize Black Wall Street. So we are taking existing businesses, whether they're at ideation phase or they're just trying to connect to their audience, whether they have a brick and mortar. Majority of the people can't afford brick and mortar businesses. So we're actually getting them to a place where they can do that. So our goal is to help them achieve $150,000 of revenue in the first 2 years of business. And so we do that by connecting them to the different resources that we have. That's our masterclasses every Monday with top experts from all over the United States that can actually help them scale their businesses. That's also connecting them to our ecosystem that we created through Hatch, AVL, Eagle Market Street, Greenworks, not Greenworks, Mountain BizWorks. And, you know, you have AB Tech Small Business Center, Western Women Business Center. And so that is like our hub of where we kind of like a feeder pattern, so to speak, where we're taking entrepreneurs through an entire conglomerate or our ecosystem that we create a pathway in to actually bring people into a space where you're getting connected, you're getting the education, and you're getting the infrastructure you need so that you can handle stability. And then the biggest thing that's the heart of Black Wall Street, and this is all taking place online and a mixture of in person, is our community. We have 130 members that are a part of Black Wall Street and still growing with the $1.4 million impact in our first year, and that's with 70 members. And so now we're gathering those numbers now to see what we did with 130 members. And the expansion is just continued. So that is like our how. You're catching us by coming to our Grind coffee shop. A lot of the time, a lot of our members are there for the business center. I mean, we are actually now, Joel, you might not know this, but we're building four offices, cubicle soundproof offices in Grind for people to continue to do that work. So that is our community hub center, where a lot of our members are already meeting, closing deals, and making connections. And they come there to meet because there's space there. And from that place, there is a I guess, you, so to speak, like a trigger wire of you want to know more about what's around you. So when you look around, you start to see, you know, information. You see the Black businesses that we do work with. We are offering their products. That is the to find out more about what we do. But when you come into it, you kind of connect to the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, and you can tell that there's been a lot of progress and a lot of success that's come out of giving people that education, giving those Black entrepreneurs that support and those resources, and just really the space to actually, you know, start to connect with customers. You know, we had on the other Waller, we had on Shamal Waller a few months back to talk about his business and how he was impacted by coming through Black Wall Street. I also know I was recently saw a presentation by another gentleman who makes video games, who was supported and came through with Black Wall Street. Leroy. Yeah. So you guys are giving entrepreneurs of color the education, the connections, the resources, and connecting them to other infrastructure that they might not either know about or have access to otherwise, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have found a niche in that we have seen a lot of transplants come here. Our goal is to where the transplant and the native can come together to learn and grow. So we have a mixture of transplants where, you know, you have Leroy, he goes by Bruce Leroy. Funny, right? I'm Bruce. And then you have Shamal Waller, which is my actual brother. So that's like real fun. Like just using those two people as an example, how they came from different locations, one from Florida, another from New York, to come here and get the educational tools that they need. One needed something different than the other. Leroy, he needed connection. He actually had a business and needed to get it funded and needed to get in front of the right audience and just some minor tweaks. And we supported him with that. Where with Shamal, he really, he learned different ways to do business, you know, by being a part of Black Wall Street. And he already had a professional videography, photography business, but now he was able to utilize the resources that we had to really even step up into new avenues of obtaining business and connecting to a new audience of people. And even new ideas like the vegan-friendly tours he had, that was all built inside of us helping him with ideation and what it could be to actually create a new idea and incorporate all of his skill sets. So from Shamal being formed in fashion and supported as a business owner to Bruce Leroy, who is now getting in front of the right audience with some minor tweaks to help him debut his business and connecting to like 1 million cups as an example. And then those connections meet connections that we have already built. So it really goes back to how big we are on partnerships. And so those individuals are winning, as well as some people inside of our cohort were able to leave their jobs and work on their business full time by closing six-figure contracts within their business, which has never been heard of for them. To others, actually now have a legitimate business, and they probably have been doing this work the whole time. Now we are able to incorporate them, and we take care of those costs. You know, we take care of the costs of starting up a business, and even at times we do vending fees. So getting at the right table to vend, making the right connections, you may can't afford it, we'll take care of those costs. And so the people who have donated and those who are, you know, philanthropists and even the grants have helped us continue to do the work that we're doing. That even goes always as far as with the Black Wall Street Junior members. We took 20 kids out of town to go and see the Black Wall Street Mall, the first one, I believe, in North America, a 50,000 square foot mall, and it was called the New Black Wall Street Marketplace.
This is down in Atlanta, right?
Yep, it says outside of Atlanta. I can't remember the actual name of the city, but it's like 20 minutes outside of Atlanta. Beautiful location. Kids were inspired. We're able to hear stories of other individuals and then learn about HBCU opportunities you know, and kids were inspired. And even the chaperones, they were Black Wall Street members. So you just started to see this beautiful thing happen where entrepreneurs coming out of Black Wall Street Incubators program are now able to have more time because they work for themselves to go on this trip. And so I was able to see some of that happen with some of the cohort members that did go with us, or members now, we call them family members because they're just staying. They're not leaving. They said, we just want to be here. So it's pretty dope to have them there and to work with the kids. And so that's just kind of like this list goes on, like how many lives were actually impacted. So many mothers who are mothers, single mothers, so many fathers, family men, family women that are in this program in different walks of life were able to use the resources to establish themselves here as business owners. And it's beautiful to be a part of that in supporting it. And that even got us even nominated for the Venture 15 for most resourceful, newest organization. And that was pretty cool just to be recognized by other people like, hey, y'all really doing the work. Or, you know, community members that are natives and like, hey, y'all need to talk to Black Wall Street. They are doing a great job. And so people, it feels good that your own people are accepting you. You right, because that's not always the case, you know. And then it's cool to see like our white allies coming alongside of us to continue to help those that we really aim to work with, you know, new BIPOC founders that are looking to grow their business. And it's cool when entrepreneurs that are moving from other locations, because it's going to happen. People are going to transplant here because it's an attractive location and it's being market. But it's cool to have conversations with new business owners or families and saying, hey, we want to move here. And the first thing we saw was Black Wall Street because we were looking for things to do for Black people. And so we become the go-to when people are moving to Asheville. And I have so many powerful phone calls or people signed up to be a part of our membership program and it was able to get onboarded quickly in the city to get exactly what they need. And so there are several success stories like that. Even people who are tourists, they say, I just came into the coffee shop to learn more about Grind and Black Wall Street because, you know, they operate in tandem with each other. And so it in the past year, 2020 alone, not even counting 2021, you know, 2020 alone has been so eventful and making so many memories and meaningful connections. We were even nationally recognized by Truist Foundation by working with them to help us do the work that we're doing. And the list just goes on, and the work continues to grow.
Well, and I think that recognition really is just a testament to what you guys have done. I mean, you and Jay didn't, you know, I don't think you guys knew exactly what it was going to look like, you know, today when you started working on this a couple of years ago. And so I guess my next question would be, you know, looking forward, do you have a vision in mind of what you, you know, where you guys really want to take this and what you want it to look like? Or are you kind of, you know, as I say in basketball, kind of give what the defense takes you? Are you just sort of doing your work and kind of seeing where it ends up? What does the future, you think, look like for Black Wall Street here in Asheville now that you've seen it in other places like Atlanta and you kind of have some of those bigger visions and you've seen what the progress has looked like so far over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I knew very quickly in the first 6 months when we started, we had something super special. And there is such a need across the United States when it comes to organizing BIPOC entrepreneurs and founders. There is no space or home for them. I mean, there are a lot of programs out there, right? But they don't have a proper ecosystem. And I think that's what makes us very different, like our niche. Like we know how to create ecosystems in existing programs, existing, you know, terrain. And, you know, we know how to align the partners with the volunteer, with the founder or entrepreneur, with the philanthropist. You know what I mean? And so you have the different parts that play with the ecosystem is natural habitat. I think that we had more so a wilderness, but not really like a garden that was organized. And so I quickly found out when we started to build out this, I told Hackett, I was like, you know, when he was when we getting it started, I was like, this could be a beta test to take across the United States. And so we, now we have about 2 years of data, and we know exactly what organizations and entities we need to connect with that are national. They are in all, you know, 50 states, because they're state and federal, right? And we know exactly who to connect with to ensure that we're building proper ecosystems, because it doesn't mean anything for it to be at the top or there. You know, that's equality, right? Everybody has access. But equity is, or entrepreneurship equity is, how do you take complex data or information or, you know, something that has access, and equity is, I'm going to bring it to the individual, or I'm going to raise up the playing field to be even if their dirt pile is much lower than the next person. How do you create enough momentum or support for everybody to be on the same playing field? So that means that there's some exclusive work that takes place with specific races of people, because they have not always had access. And even if now they do now, they don't know how to get access. We make that happen. And so we're going to other states with this. Mm-hmm.
Equity means ownership, you know, really, at the end of the day, you know? And so it seems like that's what you're talking about, is you're not just talking about giving people a Band-Aid. You're talking about actually creating the ownership where, like you said, you own the land, you own the building, you own the business, mm-hmm. that actually creates that equity and equality. Because if you try to go the other direction, it usually doesn't work out too well. But if you start at the heart of it, the ownership piece, which, you know, I think that expands beyond race. That expands to all people who have had limited access due to, you know, whether it's just their, you know, socioeconomic situation or whatever the case might be, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool to see you guys hit the nail on the head with that ownership piece.
Yeah. So I'm excited because we are able to build this in some other locations. We actually already have an existing, you know, second and third location, one in Bowie, D.C., in Maryland, in D.C., Maryland area. And we have undergrads. We partner with Bowie State University with their entrepreneurship program they just recently built last year. They have a whole establishment that's all brand new. So that means they need brand new programming. They need ecosystem. I mean, they need a lot of different things. So they're connecting with their city. But one of our team members, she lives out that way, and that's Dr. Masika Jordan. She's our strategic planning, and she's one of our partners and people as well that helps us start get everything rolling. And we're established out that way, and we're going to be doing some vision casting with undergrads. A lot of them have taken up entrepreneurship as a major or a minor, and that's a new program. So that's cool. We have 12 young adults ready to go and that are building and recruiting. And now we also have a training center in Richmond. The training center that we have in Richmond is taking an existing establishment that was already there and creating a new framework around it. So that's what we're doing. We really don't even have to I told Jay, I was like, we're the Uber of business, right? We don't have to own the car necessarily, but we can bring new framework and a paradigm to what you already have. We don't want to create a new thing. We want to reveal what's already there and improve it, you know? So that's like our specialty. So we do have big plans. As Jay said, plans as big as Memphis, right? Anyone would say that if he was here. So yeah, we're excited about growing to those other locations.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, to quote, you know, as I in my monologue talked about Martin Luther King, you know, it's an idea whose time has come. And it sounds like you guys are just being excellent vessels of that idea, and just kind of allowing the people and the resources, like you said, just creating that community and creating that ecosystem and putting the pieces together. And I appreciate all the work you're doing and the humility that you do it with, my man. I do want to ask too, for people who are interested either in, let's say someone's interested in either shopping at a, you know, BIPOC owned business, or maybe they want to get involved in some of the events that you're doing, or see if they can lend their support, whether that's financial or it's their volunteer time, or it's just, like I said, just by, you know, your dollar is your vote, as we say in this show, is just by spending their money with Black Wall Street companies. How's the best way for people to get connected to you, to Black Wall Street, I should say? What's the best avenue for people to do that?
Yeah, you know, the best connection right now is going to our website. We have a lot of resources there. We're also, it's cool, a lot of people have been giving. We're in our giving season still like doing our thing. We have a Givify link, but it's blackwallstreetavl.com, and that is our website. On there, you'll find business listings of the existing businesses that we have, and it's still continually being updated because we still don't have, we're missing a few, right? And also the pictures of those individuals and their stories and what they're doing. And also, you will actually be able to become a partner or a member. Partners are our allies, those individuals that have resource and information about how they can connect with us. And then you have the actual member. The member is the BIPOC founder that needs more support and also just connection and community. Some of them don't need it. One or the other, they just want to be a part of the community and to be in with other founders like themselves to build that community. And we stay intentional on that. And so, yeah, blackwallstreetavl.com is the best. That's where you can get access to our event center if you want to host an event.
Well, you heard it here. Go to blackwallstreetavl.com and see at whatever level you want to get involved and to help support the cause, and really appreciate having you on the show here, Bruce. Make sure to listen to this show as well as a bunch of others on bizradio.us. Also go to mindfulmarketplaceshow.com to hear the archive, read the blog, and get access to my debt elimination services that I help families with each and every week. For everyone out there, make sure to take care of yourselves and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.